Hey. Welcome to church. I'm not ready. I don't know if you can tell. It's so good to see you. Happy New Year. I have not been here in a while. I feel weird. But I'm glad you were here. And I hope that you had a great Christmas and a great New Year's. And are you ready to worship God together? Good. I'm ready too. Do me a favor. Stand. Jesus, in this new year, we start by celebrating you. We start by singing your praises. Be glorified in this service. I pray that each of us will hear a word from you today. Amen. Let's sing together. It's a great way to start the year. Sing with me. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. Was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You come. He brought us out. We can sing hallelujah. So let's raise our hallelujah this morning, the first Sunday of the year. Let's raise it up. Sing with me. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. So I'm gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar.
Sound great this morning.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah.
So good to be back with you. Oh, hasn't God been good? Let's sing this together. God, you're so good. Sing Amazing Love.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving.
Sing this out, you know it.
God, you're so good. so good. So good. Tim's going to come and pray for us, but I thought maybe we'd sing that one more time. That's a tough song to sing sometimes, isn't it? Because it doesn't always feel like things are good. And if we focus on our circumstances, they're not always good. So we have to find a better focus, don't we? Which is why we focus on God and God's goodness. So let's sing that one more time as Tim comes. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to
I invite you, as we turn into a time of prayer, take a posture that's appropriate for you this morning. That might be sitting, it might be kneeling, it might be here at these altars, close to God. Garen, you said what I was thinking as we were singing that the last time. We come to church on the first Sunday of a new year and gather together, and we put on our new clothes that we got for Christmas, and we put on our new things. This is not a new shirt. I haven't worn it here to church before, but it's been in my closet for, like, years. But we put all of that on it, and we make like everything is good, and yet everything's not always good in our lives. As we turn the page on a new year, it brings hope, and for some it's just more of the same. But the thing that is truly the same, whether it is a good new year and you're celebrating and you're happy, or if you're just concerned or worried, our God is good in all of those situations. And so let's pray to that God. God, you are creator, redeemer, and our friend. And so, God, as we turn this page on the year, and as I think back to hanging a new calendar on my wall just this week, I took down a calendar that was filled with notes and reminders of things that had happened in the past. And God, you're beyond time, but for us, the change from December to January can be significant. And so I pray that as we are gathered here this morning, that this is not just another Sunday in the routine, but that it truly can be the start of something new. You are a good, great God who loves us and wants good for us. We live in a fallen world where people will let us down, where the situations of the world will be beyond what we can comprehend. But God, you are beyond that. And we can trust you to be in control and to be in charge. God, I think of friends that have gotten new diagnoses from the doctors in recent days. And God, even for me, as I stand here with my hand shaking in my pocket because of the disease, not knowing what's coming, but knowing that you are a good God and that you desire goodness for us. And so, Lord, for my friends that are hurting, for my friends that find themselves in strange places and circumstances, I pray that you will be present as the good God who loves them, that they can call friend. It's in Jesus' name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that got just a little bit real. It is a great opportunity for us to be back together. And for some of us, we've been away for a few weeks, and we haven't seen our friends. And so we're moving into a time of the service called Passing of the Peace, where we speak the peace of Christ into each other's lives. But it's also an opportunity, if you haven't already had a chance to meet someone over donuts and coffee this morning, to just say, hi, friend, it's good to see you again. So we'll do both of those during this time. So hi, friends, it's good to see you again, and may the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. Spread that peace around.
I like that. Most of the time I like it. Sometimes, you know. Oh, it's so good to see you.
I'm going to take over for my wife. Oh, you. Here. You're good. You're good. Can you tell them if they didn't get two of
yes. those? Okay, Garen just said, hey, since you're there and I'm up here, will you go get me a pencil or a pen? Thank you. Hey, everybody, I'm Jen. It's so good to see you. Thanks. Look at that. That's what I call service. If you didn't get one of or two of these, so each person should get two of these card things. So if you didn't get one, raise your hand. Jules has some. And then also you need one of these folded paper things. All right, so raise your hand if you need one of those. And Vanna White back there will bring you. you. Okay. What? Oh, she has pins, too. Pins, too. I mean, this is, we're going to take care of you. I promise you that. I have some announcements. But before I get into that, I just want to say we missed you. We were gone several weeks. And y'all, we went to a couple of other churches. We visited a friend's church. Can I just tell you that the fact that you are here is amazing to me, because it is scary, y'all, to like walk into a place where you don't know people. It is scary to go into a place where you're like, what are they going to do on a Sunday morning? Like, am I going to feel like, am I dressed correctly? Or are too many people going to talk to me? I mean, I'm an extrovert and I was kind of like, don't talk to me. So I get it. And I just want to say congratulations, you made it. And we're so happy that you are here. And we just want you to feel at home and relaxed, and we want you to have this sense of God's peace in your life and in this place. And so we hope more than anything that you can experience God's presence while you are here this morning for this short amount of time, and that it will do something to you, that it will change you a little bit, and that you'll go into this world a changed person. We have Connect cards. We have some in the back. I kind of got tired of them getting all like floppy behind the chairs because they look so bad when you walk in. So there's some stacked up on that table back there, or you can do it online. So take a picture of that guy and you can fill out a Connect form, and that will tell us a little bit more about you. It's not your social security number or anything like that, but it is like your email. Just your bank routing number, yeah. and it's just a way so we can add you to like communication and help you with anything that you might need help with. So it's just kind of that first step of communication. But also, for those of us who have been here for a while, if you've changed something, or if you're not getting emails from us or something like that, maybe your Gmail got filled up like mine, and you have a new email, this is where you can take care of that, or on a paper copy. I'm going to skip over the next announcement and come back to it, because another thing that you can tell us on that communication card is if you are interested in one of two things, or both things, or all the things. One, we do what's called a Compass class. Yeah, it's a membership class, yes. So if you want to become a member of our church, be able to like vote on our board and that kind of stuff, or serve on our board, this, little things like that. We have a membership class. You can take this class even if you don't want to become a member, or if you have been a member for 40 years. Because the whole idea of a compass is that you're going in the same direction, right? And so we want to make sure that we all understand the direction where we're heading as a community. And so we invite you to be a part of this. Now, based on interest will be when we will start the first one, but it will be soon. It will be in the next probably few weeks that we will begin this. And we'll do about 3 sessions, okay? So let us know if you're interested in that. You can see me. And we actually have a really good time. Those of you who have done it, we have fun. You know, we do. We have fun. And then if you are interested in baptism, maybe right now in the ocean wouldn't be a great idea, but we do have a baptismal here. And if you are interested in baptism, if you are a follower of Jesus and you have not been baptized, this is just a great opportunity for you to raise your hand to say, yes, I want everyone in my community of faith to not only know that I want to follow Jesus, but so they know that we're in this together, that we are a support system for each other in our faith walk. And so baptism is a wonderful way that you can express your faith. It's also a wonderful thing if maybe you got baptized as a child and you were away from the Lord and you came back to faith and you want to affirm that baptism that you had as a child. That's a wonderful opportunity for you, and we do that too. So let us know if you are interested in being baptized. Can I just tell you something, a little soapbox moment? Are you going to talk about baptism today in your sermon? Okay, so I love the passage in Scripture where Jesus is baptized. Because what is so beautiful about this passage is that he is baptized and God speaks. God announces to everyone there, "This is my son. I am proud of him. I love him. He's my son. He belongs to me." Jesus had not performed a miracle yet. He had not done anything noteworthy yet. And God said, "This is my son of whom I am well pleased." And so when we come to a place where we say we want to be baptized, that does not mean that we clean ourselves up first. It means that we come saying, "Lord, we surrender to you, and we want to follow you," whatever that looks like, all right? So we want to follow the example of Jesus, and so we get baptized, and it's really meaningful. Finally, I think our Christmas offering, my girl's back there. She's doing such a good job catching up with me. Christmas offering, we're going to continue until the middle of the month, and we're about to go into a time of offering. So we want you to know that you still have a chance to contribute to that Christmas offering that helps our local church, it helps our community, and it helps the world in mission, okay? And I think that I skipped over the jumpstart, the scripture, read scripture with us, and I think that that's what this is. 33 books in 31 days. Y'all, read the Bible with us, okay? It will change you. And I don't know how it happens. It's mysterious and beautiful, but it is the words on these pages transform our lives. And so reading scripture is an important part of our faith journey. Okay, I think. Are you tired of hearing me talk? Probably. I'm sorry. Well, it is offering time, and we're going to pray. And if you would like to contribute, we appreciate it. How you give is just one way that we can continue to serve our community, continue to serve our world, and provide for the things that happen in this space. And so thank you for how you give. If you would like to give, there are actually multiple ways that you can do that. You can go online to our website. You can give in the boxes that are in the lobby. We don't pass plates, but there are multiple ways that you can put a stamp on an envelope and send it in the mailbox. But stamps are like $1 now. I don't know how much it is. So save yourself a stamp. But let's pray and continue to worship as we give back to God. Oh, Lord, there are so many ways that we can offer ourselves to you. And God, I am just grateful for a community of people that we can serve alongside. I'm so grateful for the hearts of a group of people that just want to follow you. And so I pray that as we move into this new year, as we move into maybe some new habits, maybe some new practices, whether they are with our time or with our talents or with our tithe, with the resources that you've blessed us with, Lord, we just want to give ourselves to you, because everything that we do, God, is just a response to your love. And so we are overwhelmed by how much you love us. And so will you help us to be generous with everything about ourselves so that we can become more and more like you? We love you. We're so grateful for how you love us. We want to love you more. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's very quiet in here. Okay. I'm still up here. Hi, I'm Jen. So we haven't done this in a while, where we pray a prayer for understanding before we open up scripture. And so if this is new to you, you just read along. But pray with me our prayer for understanding. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Amen. Well, our first scripture passage is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 29. If you have your Bible with you, the book of Psalms is somewhere near the middle. So you can just kind of open it up and then flip back a little bit and you will find the Psalms. And we're going to read Psalm 29, and this was written by David. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forests bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, glory! The Lord rules over the flood waters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. What a beautiful passage to begin our new year. And then we're going to skip over into the New Testament to 1 Peter. If you have a physical Bible, you might actually want to, I lost my place. Look it up in the little index. Because it's a little book to find near the back of the Bible. So I'm way back here, you guys, okay, if you're looking. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. And this is entitled in this Bible that I'm reading from, A Call to Holy Living. So, Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy, for I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Something's coming through, but I don't know what it is. Here, just use this.
Oh, I give me 5 seconds.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves. What was your favorite Christmas gift?
Did you say gift or memory?
Check. Okay, nobody said anything. Okay, that's all right, because the best gift is Jesus. If you would have said anything else, you would have been wrong, so... Okay, so while we were away, Jen and I had the chance to see a movie called Wonka. Have you seen it?
Yes, it's so good.
Anyone? You saw it? Do you like it?
Okay.
Stop it. It was fantastic. Well, I say we saw it. I saw most of it because, true to Garen form, there was a point when I had to leave and go to the bathroom. And so, I went to the restroom. You know, you run out as fast as you can. You go to the restroom, you run back, and then you're like standing in the back of the theater until there's a good time to come down. And then I got down, and I sat next to Emma, and the first thing I asked her was, what did I miss? Good, y'all are with me. So I'm not the only one that's happened to. Okay, good. What did I miss? She told me, and I got the main idea, but I definitely missed a section of the movie. I could piece together things, but it wasn't the same as actually being there, right? I missed a section, and that's kind of how I have felt the last few weeks. I truly have missed being here, being with you, seeing your faces. Feels strange. I've heard some great things. I've heard some awesome things that have happened, and I just missed them. Hey, Troy, maybe turn me down a little. I hear a ring, and that's going to bother me, and so just a little bit. I'm glad to be back with you. I'm glad to see Snowbird's coming back. Hey, Sharon, good to see you. I said hi to your husband. Every year we do the first Sunday of the year, we do what's called a Wesley Covenant service. And for the first few years, we did the original, and I had a few people tell me, "Pastor, thou art killing me. Please refrain from thine old language." And so we kind of revamped it. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Drew. So we're going to do it a little differently. We tried it last year, and I think it worked out well. And I agree. It's not about how it's presented. It's more about where we're heading. And so we do this every year, and the simple reason we do this is because it's important for us to remember, and it's important for us to recalibrate our lives. And the beginning of the year is a perfect time to do it. There was a study done in Emory University that showed a direct correlation between a person's well-being and their knowing their story.
All right. Whoa. Okay. So turn that down a little bit. Oh, man. I've lost one hand to talk with. If you were online, you just missed something spectacular. It was awesome. Wesley believed if Christ is in us and the Holy Spirit is working through us, then we are not in a survival mode. We are in a transformation mode. And it's a process that begins when we give our lives to Christ and we become more like Jesus every day. We don't have to wait till then for Christ to heal us and make us better. We can have Christ start to transform us now by the power of this Holy Spirit, and we will ultimately be complete there. But it doesn't mean we're waiting until we die to be changed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. All right. The second thing that Wesley was big about, he was very methodical
Thus, the term Methodist. He believed that if you established habits and methods and routines that were Christ-focused, you could propel your spiritual life further than if you just haphazardly, I believe in Jesus and I go to church every now and then. No. He said, let's have a method. You want to know more about God? Read more in Scripture. You want to know more about how to be a community? Go to church more. You want to know about how to be transformed better? Get in a small group and an accountability group. There are methods that you can do that can help you along the way. And so each year, the first Sunday, we make a commitment to God and to ourselves and to each other that we want to strive to be more Christ-like. And that's what the Wesleyan Covenant is about. So today, hopefully you got two. And the reason you got two is because I want you to take one home, but I'm also hoping that you will leave one here with us because the pastors want to know how we can pray for you and pray with you. And so we want to know what's going on and what God is saying to you. So if you look on the first page, there are five things that I'm asking you to covenant with me and do. First thing is, I'm going to share radical hospitality. I'm going to do it by making my heart a welcoming place for God, by inviting friends, colleagues, classmates, or family to attend worship, by warmly welcoming all who attend. This actually is one of our core values. We believe that we're better together. We believe that when we are connecting with God and we're connecting with each other, and we're welcoming the neighbor and the visitor and the foreigner among us, people that are just coming in, then we are being more like Christ. Second thing is, I'm praying that you will passionately worship. I love how this is phrased. I'll be passionate in worship by preparing my heart and mind for worship. And just a side note, that doesn't happen at 10:02 when the service starts. You can be preparing your heart for worship when you get up and you start praying. God, I don't know what the pastor's going to say, but he's probably going to be crazy. Help him. I don't know how the music is going to be, but help it to minister to me. God, help someone to be there that I notice hasn't been there in a while. You can prepare your heart for worship long before you ever step foot on this campus. And so, covenant with me to prepare our hearts for worship by attending worship regularly, by finding a daily devotional that works for us. Here's a good place to start if you don't have one. This is a core value of ours. We gather and we scatter. We believe that we're called to live life together. And so we come together corporately with open hearts and open minds, and we meet God in this space, and we join Christ at his table. And just as we ingest the food at the table and it builds and nurtures us, we believe we're called to go out and build God's kingdom and feed a dying world. The third thing, I will be intentional in my faith development by praying regularly, by being part of a group for discussion, study, or prayer, by discovering my spiritual gifts and talents. You can do that. That's part of the section of the membership class. We'll go through and talk about your spiritual gifts and your passions and your talents and how you can use them for God's glory. That was a side plug. This lines up with our core value that we don't stay the same. That goes back to Wesley's thought that we are called to be changed from glory into glory. Remember that song? It means that we want to be different today than we were yesterday, and we are going to methodically find ways to be more Christ-like. Spiritual life isn't stagnant. If you and I aren't more Christ-like today than we were yesterday, it's a sign that our hearts and our minds are not right with God. Let's just call it what it is. Because we believe that you can't be in God's presence and not be changed. And so if you are not changed, chances are you have not spent time in God's presence. So this is our chance. 2023 is gone. You can't fix that and you can't embellish it. But you can make today the day that you say, from this day forward, God, I commit to this. Fourth thing, I'm going to be risk-taking. I love that. Y'all, we live in a world that is so safe and careful. I want you to be risk takers in mission, listening more closely to God's call in your life and then stepping out in faith, because I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times when God tells you to do something and it sounds crazy. Be a risk taker. If God's calling you to do it, then the success or the failure is on God, and God will take care of God's mission. Just be obedient. So be a risk taker. Make positive influences or positive differences in the lives of other people. Be willing to risk failure for Christ's ministry. This is one that we get hung up on. We talk about what would be a good ministry to start, what would be a good something to do, and then we assess, do we think it will be successful, and then we decide to do it or not do it. What if we were to risk greatly and say, even if this fails colossally, if God's calling me to do it, I'm going to fail greatly, and God will honor obedience. So I challenge you this year, as God speaks to you and says, have you thought about this? What if you were to join my spirit in this way? I challenge you to say, okay, God, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust you. And I don't know how it's going to look, but we're going to do it. That goes with our core value, we give our lives away, by the way. Because we're called to be on mission for the world. The fifth thing, I'm going to be extravagant in my generosity by offering more of my heart to God. God wants it all. I encourage you to give it all by supporting the church in our mission and making Christ-like disciples, by giving regularly with your tithe, with your energy, with your talents, with your resources, with your knowledge. There's so much that you can give, and God has placed you in this congregation for a reason. And it's not just to receive, it's to participate. So pray about how you can extravagantly be generous with what you have. This is a good indicator of how we view God. Because if we believe that our God truly is generous and we are called to be like him, we cannot be any way other than generous. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay. Five commitments. Let's talk 4 weeks. You know, we didn't have a slide up here, but a lot of times we say try five. Hey, if you're visiting with us, try five. Every week is different. Every week has a different success and a different failure, and you want to be around to see what's going on. See if this church could be your church home. Well, you already made it. Today's day one. I'm just asking you to try 4 more weeks. And that's for people who are new. That's for people who are regulars. When you're not here, you miss the rhythm of the church and the rhythm of the mission. When you're not here, we are not at full capacity. It's like when you have an AC unit and something's wrong with it and it's limping along. It's only running at half its potential. Do you sit there and say, hey, well, half is pretty good, or do you want it to be at its full potential so that it can do all that it was created to do? In the same way, we cannot be the body that we are called to be if you take yourself out of it. So be here. Participate. You can't partially fully engage. That's quotable. Remember that. You can't partially fully engage. When you're not here, you miss things. And people miss you. It's like there's a piece missing in our church puzzle when you're not here. And the good news is, like I said, you're already 20% through with this one because you came today. If you're online, join us next Sunday. Honestly, I feel weird saying try five, because the truth is there are 52 weeks in the year, and asking you to try five feels pretty weak. The real challenge is be here every time you can. Go deeper than just five. 5 commitments, 4 weeks, three verses. 2 Kings, this is a passage that you probably do not read regularly. 2 Kings chapter 23, this is one that's used a lot in Wesleyan Covenant services, and this is simply what it says. Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. And there the king read to them the entire book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. And the king took his place of authority beside the pillar and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. And he pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, all his laws, all his decrees with his heart and his soul. And in this way he confirmed all the terms of the covenant that were written on the scroll. And all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Now, we don't have priests and all that stuff. But let's just connect it to what we do have. As the pastor of this church, I am pledging to you. I will do my best to honor God and honor you. I will be here every time I can. I will choose God and this community of faith over other things and other activities and other distractions. I choose God and I choose you. That's how much I value you. That's how much I believe in God's call and God's command. That's how much I believe that God wants to do miracles in our midst. And God wants you here to see it or be part of it. And I stand here asking you to commit to that same thing with me. Be here. Serve here. Give your time and your money and your energies and your prayers and your thoughts here. Love others here. Be present here. Consistently, faithfully. Five commitments, 4 weeks, 3 verses. Let's talk about 2 words. On the back side of your paper, you'll see some spiritual disciplines. These are in no way all of them. But these are some examples of ways that you can go deeper in your life. I don't know exactly what God's will is for you, but I know that God's will is for you to grow deeper in Christ. I don't know what his specific plan is, but I know that it is for you to become more holy and to let the Holy Spirit fill you more and more. I don't need to know your specifics to know that because I know God. These 6 things... are what I would call ways to help you have a better gospel life. Gospel means good news. The gospel is Jesus, and you can have the gospel life. So I've got 6 things. Confession. This is one that we hate. We don't like admitting we're wrong. We don't like admitting that we made a mistake. We feel awkward. And for some of us, we are not going to have that breakthrough until we get over that. Maybe this year is going to be the year that you say, I'm just going to confess to God everything. My joys, my struggles, God's going to get it all. I'm going to confess to others when I'm struggling with something, when I've made a mistake, when I've fallen short. I'm just going to make confession my thing. Prayer, whether it's daily, weekly, hourly breath prayers, I'm going to commit to talk to God more. Accountability. Wesley said there is no holiness other than social holiness, which means the old idea of I don't need church to be close to God. I don't need people to be close to God. Wesley and our denomination would say that's not true. If Jesus had 12 around him that he poured his life into for 3.5 years, and scripture talks about dozens of others that followed him, why do we think that we can do this by ourselves? We need people in our lives that we can be accountable to and that we can hold others accountable to. Now, what that means is when you say, hey, I'm struggling with this, I don't beat you over the head and condemn you. It means I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask you how you're doing, and I'm going to check up with you because I want you to know that I'm praying for you and that you can overcome. And I need you to do that for me. So we got confession, we got prayer, we got accountability, we've got corporate worship. Hey, y'all are already doing this, and this helps with number four, so you could do a double thing. What if you said, I'm going to make my goal 52 Sundays, be here at least 50 of them? What? That would be amazing. Community. Now, you can interpret this how you want. It could be that where I live, I'm going to be intentional about building community with the neighbors around me that need to be Jesus. It could be I'm going to make this community more of a priority in my life. I don't know what that is, but community is a big component of the spiritual life. And the last one is Bible reading. You've already been challenged to do this. I'm reading the Bible every day and on a plan, and it is awesome, and I encourage you to join me. We're only 7 days into it. You can catch up with those seven early books or finish January 7th, 2025. It's okay. Just join the program. We'll give you the things every month if you lose this sheet of paper. But if you put it in your Bible, you should be safe. Oh, man, I got way off. Let me see where I'm going. I'm sorry. If you want, if you say, I want to know more about some of those spiritual gifts, this is going way back. But if you go to our Apple Podcast, back in September, October 2019, pre-COVID, we did a series called Restoration Hardware, and we went through each of these spiritual disciplines. If you remember, we had the table that we deconstructed and tried to rebuild it. That's a great resource. 5-4-3-2-1, one word. This is something that a lot of people do. What's your one word? And you may have a one word for your job or whatever, but I want you to think through, God, what is the one word that you have for me? And maybe you hear that one word, it's like, that doesn't even make sense. Just write it down. You may not realize why you wrote it down for 2 months or 6 months or 9 months, but if God is telling you something, write it down. One word. And then live into that one word. So one of my favorite parts of Wonka is near the end. So, oh, y'all, spoilers. I mean, is it going to spoil it? Yeah, I'm going to spoil it. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to ruin the experience for you. His mom makes chocolate, and he wants to know what's the secret formula. And she's like, I'll tell you later. And at the end of the movie, he gets this wrapper, and she says, the magic isn't in the chocolate. It's in who you share it with. It's not the chocolate that matters. It's the people that you share it with. Y'all, 2023 is over. For some of us, it was awesome. For some of us, it was horrible. Regardless, today we can choose to say, you know what? For 2024, I'm going to choose to share the magic here. I'm going to choose to make this community a place where I grow and I learn and I excel. Don't let this year pass you. And you get at the end of it and you say, what did I miss? Don't let this year pass you and you're fine just getting the cliff notes, hearing about what God was doing while you were absent, hearing about what God is doing in people's spiritual lives and you're not growing at all. Wouldn't that be a horrible way to spend a year or waste a year? This is the time that we get to commit. And so I'm gonna give you just a moment. It's not going to be long because there's not a lot, but I want you to pray about those six spiritual disciplines. And I want you to circle two that you say, okay, God, I feel like maybe you're telling me this. Or God, I don't know which ones you're telling me, but these are piquing my interest. Maybe that's God's Spirit leading you that way. I want you to circle them. I want to give you a minute just to hear from God, and what's your one word? I want you to write it down. And I want you to do that on both sheets, because I'm praying that you'll sign it and give us your email so that our pastors can be praying for you. And as you come to mind, we can send you an email and say, hey, been praying for you. How's your one word? Are you being faithful the way your one word said? How can I help you? So I'm going to give you just a minute, and I'm going to stop talking, and it may get awkward because you're going to have about 60 seconds of silence, but I want you to ask God and fill that out, and then we're going to finish with the Wesley Prayer. I'm going to give you just a couple more seconds. If you're visiting with us, this isn't normal. But maybe it should be a little more normal, where we reflect on what God has done and where God's calling us to go. So I encourage you, even if you're visiting and, hey, we're just here for a couple of weeks and then we're going back to Indiana where we're from, hey, give us your email. We'll still stay in contact and we'll pray for you up there. As we come to the table, before we do, can I ask you, there's a prayer that Wesley had them pray every year, and we made it user-friendly for 2024 language. But would you read that prayer with me and just make this your prayer? Let's pray together. I'm no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I've made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. Amen. I love that language. Creator makes me think of Father. Redeemer makes me think of Son. Sustainer makes me think of Spirit. What a beautiful Trinitarian prayer. And every Sunday, we come to the table to celebrate Christ our Redeemer. And so, we usually don't do this when we have potluck, but it's the first Sunday of the year. Y'all, I'm sorry. I felt like we had to. I don't know. Maybe I need to make my thing apologize less. That's my word. We're going to come to the table, and then we're going to set up tables, and we're going to share a meal together. And if you are visiting with us, please stay. If you forgot and you didn't bring food, please stay. There's always, always plenty. It's like the loaves and the fish. Somehow there's always more than enough. So, but first we come to the table because I want us to start this year remembering that we are only able to live for God because of the work that Christ did. Because Christ came and died and saved us. So, remember the Emory study that said the people that are most well-adjusted are the ones that remember their history? This is why we do liturgy every time. You could probably say what I'm going to say, and I love that, because I want you to understand why we do this. We celebrate the work that God did when he freed his people from slavery. They were in physical bondage, and God liberated them. In the same way, when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take, eat, be thankful. This is my body, which will be shed for you. Now, subtext for us sometimes gets lost, but back then, at the Passover, they had bread that they would break. Back then, this was a sign of their physical slavery being ripped apart and them being liberated. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to do something spiritual and set you free. And at the right moment, he also took the cup. And he, chances are, if he followed the Passover routine, he sang a psalm. A song, it's the Psalm of Ascension. There are four or five of them in Psalms. And I always wonder, did he have a good voice? I'll bet he did. I'll bet he was like a rich baritone voice. I don't know. But he lifted up the cup. The cup would have been a sign of the blood. If you recall, the firstborn of every family was killed, except for the ones that had the blood on the doorposts and the mantle. The ones that had the blood were saved. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and he said, this is a sign of a new covenant. This is my blood, which will be shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink, all of it, and be thankful. And so in the same way, we come to the table understanding that it is only through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus that we have life. And so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to come. It's pretty standard. We come and form a line and circle around. And so if you're not familiar, just follow the person in front of you. You don't have to be a member of the Church of the Nazarene. You don't have to be a member of this church. This is for everyone who says, I know Jesus, or I want to know more about Jesus. This table is for you. So, Father, this is your table. These are your elements. This is your reminder to us of the saving grace of your Son. I pray that as we take it in, and the sugar and bread nourish ourselves and enliven our bodies, God, I pray that we will then go out in this world and be fully alive for you. Thank you for what you did, Jesus. Only you could. Only Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you that you abide with us and you remind us and you help us to remember and proclaim this death and resurrection until you return. We pray this in your name, Holy God. Amen. So I'm Jen, will you help me? As you're ready, make your way to the front and we will serve you.
When my eyes met yours in the hospital gown, when the dreams we once
nights were dreaming that we held so close, felt impossible now. And all the plans we held for the future, and all the memories up from the past. The world that I once knew was in a cardboard box in the lobby, lost and found.
Only son be sacrificed.
Oh, y'all, we're going to have to get two lines again. We're going to sing our benediction, and then we're going to do what we do for the potluck. You know the drill, with chairs and tables and everything. If you're visiting with us, please do stay. We'd love to see that. And if you're visiting, we sing our benediction. And so will you stand with me? And you can just receive it. But it's so good to be back with you. Happy 2024. It's going to be a good year for us. I have faith. So sing with me. We sing hallelujah, let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes. Let your will be done. And as we go in your name, we shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. Jules. Oh, the card you filled out that's for the pastors to pray for you, you can bring it up and just set it on the altar.